This is part four in what we're talking about, how the Christian world has been deceived. Now, if you're the great deceiver, Satan the devil, what would you do? How would you approach it? Who would you come after first? Well, you would come after the leaders of the church. You would come after the ministers of the church. And you would cause confusion. You would cause doubt. You would cause disbelief. And you would inspire, or cause to happen, or influence through lust and greed and pride, to cause the ministers to preach the wrong thing, to teach the wrong doctrines, and to cause their lives to be moral failures, and cause them to quit, or cause them to ignore the Word of God. Now we will see all of these things have happened. And this ties in also to what we have done, why church at home. Because here's what's happening to the Protestant world today. Now, the whole problems with the Catholic Church is another entirely different problem. So we'll discuss that at a later time. Now I want to read to you this report entitled Fallen Pastors. And this is taken from information from the Barna Association, Marantha Life, and also from Focus on the Family. Now here's the turmoil that's in the Protestant churches today and why they are failing, why they are imploding. We'll answer those questions later. This is what you see, but we'll discuss the cause. So here's what you see. Here's what they're able to verify. 1,500 pastors leave the ministry each month due to moral failure, lying, cheating, stealing, adultery, or spiritual burnout or contention in their churches. Fighting. Someone gets an idea, someone gets it in their craw, and they just become vicious. And yet they have been taught Jesus is love, Jesus is forgiveness, Jesus is gentle, Jesus is kind. And they go take over a church, and what do they have? Well, it's almost like a political battle. And especially where pastors have to come in and the deacons run the church. And you don't dare preach this, Sonny, and you don't dare preach that, Sonny, and you don't dare do this, Sonny. Now, we watch the purse very carefully. So here's your salary, and we'll see. Many of them leave because it's not enough to live on. Number two, 50%, think of it, of pastors' marriages will end in divorce when the husband and wife, pastor and his wife, are there to serve a congregation. Their lives are to be exemplary. But because of all of the confusion and tension within the churches, be it a big denomination and the fights that they have, or be it just a local church, or be it a mega church. And a mega church is one of the most destructive forces against the Protestant churches that there has ever been. Continuing now, number three, 80% of pastors and 84% of their spouses feel unqualified and discouraged in their roles as pastors because they are taught this part of the Bible you don't read, this part of the Bible you don't teach. And that's how they're taught in the seminaries. Number four, 50% of pastors are so discouraged that they would leave the ministry if they could, but have no other way of making a living. And yet the Bible says the laborer's worth is higher. What do you think that does to their preaching? What do you think that does to their conviction? What do you think that does to being able to love the members of the congregation? Number five, 80% of seminary and Bible school graduates who enter the ministry will leave the ministry within the first 5 years, a continuing turnstile of ministers who come out all enthusiastic from the schools and seminaries and want to do what's right the way they see it, and they find out the reality that ain't the way it is. So they leave. Number six, 70% of pastors constantly fight depression. Well, think of that. How are they going to preach on love and hope and truth and mercy and kindness and goodness? How are they going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil if they are depressed? Number seven, almost 40% polled say they have had an extramarital affair since beginning their ministry. And you hear of it all the time. That's to say nothing of the pedophile and homosexuality and adultery that goes on within the Roman Catholic Church, protected by the church. Did you know that the United States of America is the only place where the priest can be prosecuted and brought to court? Because every other country is Catholic and they run by canon law. But in America, it's run by common law. And in order to protect the Catholic Church, they have settled to all of those that have been violated in their youths when they were altar boys, etc., to the tune of billions and billions and billions of dollars. And they call that Christian? Huh. I got an email some time ago from some nun in a nunnery saying, because she disagreed with what I preached, "May you burn in hell forever and rot in your tomb." I emailed her back and I said, "My, what a nice display of Christian love and forgiveness and kindness. That's not of God." You see, the whole Christian structure is fraught with corruption and rottenness and doubt and fear, moral failures, lack of faith, lack of belief. And we'll see what they have substituted in a little bit for that. Number eight. 4,000 new churches begin each year, but over 7,000 churches close. So it's a diminishing return. And you look in many, many, many churches. The only way they're able to hold young people in churches if they appeal to their carnal nature and give them a feel-good gospel. Because after all, we need the money, we need the numbers, we need the people. So that further deteriorates. Number nine, 90% of pastors said their seminary or Bible school training did only a fair to poor job preparing them for ministry because they didn't teach them the Bible. And in dealing with people, they didn't teach them the biblical principles. They taught them psychology. So how can they handle that? Number 10, 85% of pastors said their greatest problem is they are sick and tired of dealing with problem people, such as disgruntled elders, deacons, worship leaders, worship teams, board members, the associate pastors. Where's the love and dedication? Now, other churches solve the problem by having a super rigid hierarchy, and you will do what you are told, and you will obey the minister. And so they rule by fear. Continuing, 90% said the hardest thing about ministry is dealing with uncooperative people. Well, why are they there? Why do you go to church? Are you a good Sunday-going person who consider yourself to be honest and a good Christian? Have you ever asked the question, could it be that the day you worship on, not being the one commanded by God, is also at the heart of the problem? But we'll talk about that a little later. Let's finish this survey. Number 11, 70% of pastors feel grossly underpaid. Absolutely true. And you look at those pitiful little churches out in the country. They're dwindling and becoming virtually nothing. Now, that's happening to a church right here in town. They have a nice building, nice grounds, but no new people are coming. And the message that they are getting is not educational and doesn't teach them. So they're dwindling down. Number 12, 90% said the ministry was completely different than what they thought it would be before they entered the ministry. Well, you see, one of the truths behind all of this is you're dealing with carnal, unconverted people who are stubborn and steadfast in their own carnal ways. Number 13, 70% felt God called them to pastoral ministry before their ministry began, but after 3 years of ministry, only 50% still felt called. Isn't that something? So that's a good way to get rid of Christianity. Attack the ministers and teachers. Put them into confusion. Lead them into sin. Cause them to preach the wrong things. Gotcha! That's what's happening. Now let's come to the part of the Bible that very, very few like to read, called the Old Testament. Now, if they would read the Old Testament, and as I said in one of the messages before, why don't you read all the book of Jeremiah and take it as personal correction for you? Now, if you really want to understand it even more, and you have the time, and you have the energy and the ability, why don't you read it on your knees and take it as personal correction from God to you. And let that be a motivating factor for you to repent to God. Now, Jeremiah 9 sounds almost like this report I read. Here's how Jeremiah felt when he saw all the people lying, cheating, stealing, committing adultery, idolatry, worshiping false gods. And God said, Jeremiah, you go. And you preach to them. And because your message is going to be hard and tough, I'm going to make your forehead like flint. And don't worry about it. There's nothing that they can do to you because I'm with you. But nevertheless, he had feelings and compassion and could see all of this going on in the society around him, in Jerusalem, in Judea, and also knowing that it affected the 10 tribes that were also taken captivity because of their sin. So here's what he said, beginning in verse 1. Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. And you look across the land today, you look in America, you look in Britain, you look in the world, killings, murders, rapings, kidnappings, stabbings, lootings, shootings, bombings, and the insanity of extreme Muslim religion. And I can't help but wonder, when will the rest of the Muslim people wake up and understand that these radicals are killing you? Insanity indeed. And there are people who see all of that and they weep and cry, but they don't know the truth. People wonder what's going on in our country, in Canada, Western Europe, England, Australia, New Zealand. Jeremiah felt so bad, he said, I want to get away from it all. You feel like that sometimes? Well, Jeremiah did. Did some of these pastors in this report feel like it? Yes, they sure did. Half of them leave. So here's how Jeremiah felt. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place for traveling men, that I might leave my people and go away from them, for they are all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. Just get away from it. Verse 3, they bend their tongues like their bows for lies. Isn't that true? They've done surveys and they found out this. The average person tells 3 lies in 10 minutes. How many do you tell? How many do you believe? What is your life? Am I describing you here? Are you part of what Jeremiah wanted to get away from because it is so overwhelmingly sinful? Is your life in confusion and mixed up? Well, it's because you're sinning. You're sinning against God, and God calls you to repent. God calls you to change. God calls upon you to stop sinning. Oh, but every man sins. But you can stop. Have addicts quit? Yes. Have alcoholics quit? Yes. Have people recovered from sex obsessions and addictions? Yes. Have people overcome stealing? Yes. You can stop. Jesus told the man that he healed who had been afflicted for 38 years, go and sin no more. Now, he wouldn't tell him to go and sin no more if he wasn't capable of choosing to not sin. But you've been lied to so much by so many people. What is the truth? Where is the truth? Well, the truth is in the Word of God. Now notice, continuing on in verse 3, but they are not valiant for the truth on the earth. Are you valiant for the truth? Do you believe the truth? Do you believe God? Do you believe Jesus Christ? Or have you been deceived and in a pall of confusion because of what you've been taught and how you have lived your life? That's why a lot of people give up on religion, because they're told so many confusing things and because they're also carnal and want to continue doing the things that they are doing. They're not valiant for the truth on the earth. Are you? Are you valiant for the truth? Do you believe the truth? Do you love the truth? Do you stand for the truth? Do you hold to the truth? And the greatest truth is the Word of God. Do you really? Do you live by it? Do you really? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So what is your Christianity worth? Do you live by every word of God, as Jesus said? Notice, for they go from evil to evil, one evil to another, and they do not know me. A lot of people say, oh, know the Lord. Oh, come to church on Sunday. And that's not the day God said to keep holy. If you read the commandments, he says, remember the Sabbath, which is the seventh day, which is Saturday today. Oh, but that's what the church teaches. Well, what is truth? Are you willing to stand for truth? Are you going to continue in your lies? Are you going to continue in your make-believe reality that is set before you in entertainment and television and music and cell phones and text messages? And you have no concept of what the world is really like and what's going on. Now notice verse 4. Everyone beware of his brother, and do not trust any brother. For every brother will supplant his neighbor, and they will walk with slanders. You can't trust anybody because they'll lie and cheat and steal and take it from you. Everyone will deceive his neighbor and will not speak the truth. And boy, is that not true. That's true in the pulpits of America from one end of the country to the other end of the country. The truth is not spoken. They may give portions of the truth, but if you give portions of the truth, it's not the whole truth, all the truth, and nothing but the truth. And the ministers will say, well, I can only preach what I'm allowed. I'll only preach what I can get across. Are you standing for truth? Now listen, let me ask you a question. If you have 80% truth and 20% error, do you have a lie? The answer is yes, you do. Continuing now, verse 5. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, and they weary themselves to commit iniquity. Your dwellings are in the midst of deceit. Through deceit, they refuse to know me. Isn't that something? How many lies and deceit have you heard from the pulpit? Now, we've just gone through the Halloween experience, which is not of God, yet it's claimed to be. We've just gone through the Christmas experience, which is not of God, but claimed to be. Did you go along with those lies, or did you stand with the truth and say, that Christmas tree is an idol filled with sex symbol ornaments, straight out of the cauldron of Satan, the devil? Did you ever prove when Jesus was born? Wasn't anywhere near Christmas. Did you lie to your children that Santa Claus would bring these gifts to you? Did you watch the lying movies which showed that, yes, Santa Claus really existed? Oh, well, we have such a good time. That's not the question. Do you have to follow a lie and sin to have a good time? How much did you go in debt to buy presents for? And why did you buy them? Well, you bought them for so-and-so because they gave me such and such. Well, Jesus said, if you only do good to those that you know, what have you done that's extraordinary? So think about it. Christmas is a lie. Everything about it is a lie. Jesus was never born anywhere near it, and all this gift-giving and taking is nothing but merchandising and based on lust and greed. All right. Through deceit they refuse to know me, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will refine them and try them. For what else can I do because of the daughter of my people? Their tongue is a slaughtering arrow. They speak deceit. One speaks peacefully to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he lies in ambush. Have you ever seen all the scams on television? Buy this, buy that, buy the other? Yes. God says, shall I not visit them for these things, says the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Because you see, right now, God is judging the nation. And God is judging you, and God is judging me. And if I don't tell you the truth, woe to me from the judgment of God. And if you don't hear and follow the truth, woe be to you, because the judgment of God is coming. Why do you think we're going through so many things? Why do you think that everything is upside down? And why do even the well-intentioned politicians think that they can solve the spiritual problems of sin in this nation by a political solution? It can never be done. So this is how the Christian world has been deceived. This is how you have been deceived, and how you in turn have deceived others. Oh, but I'm a good, righteous person. I tell the truth. Well, the question is, do you believe the truth of God? Are you willing to live by the Word of God? Well, I like this part of the Word of God, but I don't like that part of the Word of God. Is this over here truth and this not truth? Who are you to judge? What you need to do is prove. prove what I'm saying is true or not. That's why Church at Home. So whenever you can download or watch Church at Home or listen to Church at Home, you can get out your Bible, you can follow along and read it, you can see and understand what the Word of God has for you and what you can do. You need to start developing a relationship with God through study, through prayer. And remember this, God says, seek and you shall find, ask and it shall be given, knock and it shall be opened. And that needs to be your motto for your life, because God will hear and God will answer. Now, we have many articles that you can download freely right on our website. So you look at the directory of articles that are available. We have nearly 50 of them, and we'll have more as time goes by. And you take those and you read those and you study them with your Bible. You look and see what you need to do with your life. You analyze and find out, have I been a liar? Am I deceitful? Do I need to repent? Do I need to change my life? God help me. God forgive me. God lead me. God direct me. That needs to be your prayer. That's why Church at Home, because the world is filled with so much sin, they cannot tolerate what we're teaching here on Church at Home. But can you? Are you willing to act upon it? Well, I hope you will. And remember, God loves you, and God will bless you, and God will be with you as long as you seek Him and seek to come out from underneath the lies that have been avalanched upon you like an avalanche of snow coming down the mountain, and you need to get unburied from all of this nonsense. So this is Fred Coulter, Church at Home, saying, thank you for inviting me to your home. And go to our other website, Christian Biblical Church of God, cbcg.org, for many more in-depth studies and other Christian teaching materials and literature and series and studies in the Bible. So until next time, so long, everyone.